This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for August 22nd. Check this out. Episode 1500.
Woohoo! 1500. Unbelievable.
That seems like awful tame applause, Glenn, for 1500 episodes.
Yay! 1500! Is that better?
I wanted big cheering, explosive roars from the crowd. Not golf claps. Okay, well, this episode is brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine.
Yeah, Omega Alpha Equine. It's been here since episode one.
Since episode one. Yeah. Unbelievable. Good morning, horse world.
It's Monday.
Monday is my favorite time of year.
This is Horses in the Morning with your lovable hosts, Jamie Jennings.
I am the queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me, but I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday.
And happy Monday, everybody. 1500 episodes. I don't know if podcasts do that, but
not many.
I'll tell you. I mean, like you said, my husband said, what are you going to talk? That's great. You got this job. What are you going to talk about after a week? Yeah, it's 1500. So suck it, honey. So it was a wonderful weekend. And to cap it off with 1500 episodes is pretty exciting, Glenn. I saw that.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, and it's appropriate that I think we've had one of our best episodes or interviews on Friday.
That was so awesome. If you guys are listening now and you didn't hear Greg Best on Friday, he was awesome. He
just was
great.
A lot of good feedback too from it. You did a great job too, by the way. Congrats. In 1500 episodes, you learned how to interview people because it was terrific.
I finally got it.
We've been working on this for 6 years, but she finally figured it out.
Oh my gosh. So that's cool. It was really exciting to talk to him. I kind of had a buzz, you know, all weekend, like a little Greg Best high, because clearly, as you know, we're now best friends.
And you know, we go into those big interviews not knowing what we're going to get. I mean, you don't know whether this person's going to be grumpy or because we've never talked to him before. So, and sometimes we get surprised about how grumpy they are. But this was terrific. He was just the kind of guy you'd want to have dinner with.
The interviews that I had seen with him, because I was doing some prep, the interviews that I'd seen with him, he was, you know, the interviewer was buttoned up. And so, of course, then you're going to get a more buttoned up response. So I was like, what the hell? Let's just let loose. And we let loose on him and he just played right along. He was really great. Really great.
He really was.
Really fun. Let's talk about how great we are. We're so awesome.
I was thinking about that. And, you know, we've often asked each other or everybody asks us when people get a chance to interview us, they ask if we have had a favorite guest or episode. And, you know, literally on the Horse Radio Network, we've now interviewed almost 6,300 guests. So it's hard, right? But do you have was that one of your favorites, would you say, Friday?
Oh, gosh. You know, I really enjoyed talking to Penny Chinnery. That was amazing. I thought that who's the guy we interviewed for Radiothon last year at Christmas?
Oh, Charlie Daniels.
Charlie Daniels was awesome.
He's one of my favorites just because he was so cool about it all, you know?
He was just great. Yeah. And so this one goes down in the top tier of those. There's probably three or four more interviews out of 6,300 that really kind of rocked my world. And definitely Greg Best is in the top of that list for sure.
I think,
but
so.
I don't know if you can beat Penny Chinnery.
Some of my best memories, and you didn't get to do a lot of these, was the traveling ones we've done, the Disney's and the, you know, the Graceland.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
All of that.
Hey, Jennifer,
are you here?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Can she not hear us now?
She's still trying to figure that out. I'm going to mute her. Poor Jennifer's having problems today. She cannot hear us for some reason. I don't know what happened. She needs to reboot her computer.
Let's talk about her. She can't hear us.
And let's give her a big kudos for putting up with us for 1,500 episodes, too.
Yeah, but that is your wife. She is, number one, she's stuck with you. Number two, she's put up with you for a hell of a lot longer than 1,500 episodes.
That is so true.
So since Jennifer's having problems, let's tell you what's coming up on today's show. Tell us about Lindsay, Glenn.
Yeah, we're going to have Lindsay Partridge on. She's the reigning champ right now of the Thoroughbred Makeover from last year. It was called the America's Most Wanted Thoroughbred Competition. And she was in a movie that's coming out, a new mainstream film. And she's brought to us today by Omega Alpha Equine, because she kind of has a relationship with them, too.
And so, they're in the movie, too.
Yeah, that's right. They have product placement in the movie, which is kind of cool. And we're going to talk a little bit about Lucas and a little bit about your incident over the weekend. Yes, hey, Jamie had another. I got to talk to you about that real quick. We'll go over what happened. But I just wanted to tell you, you know, I know you're dedicated to the show and you've been very good about being that girl for the past 6 years. And a part of that has included coming up with these tremendous stories, very funny stories for the show where you get hurt. But it's not a requirement that you have to get hurt to come up with funny stories for the show, okay? I just wanted to let you know, after 6 years, you can stop getting hurt. We get it. All right.
I will just tease it by saying I got rocked. I got rocked on Saturday morning. like nothing that's ever happened to me happened to me. Let's just say that this has never happened to me ever in my entire life.
Really?
Yeah, never.
I didn't know that. Okay, yeah. Well, you can stop that now. We really don't need those stories anymore for the show. We're good.
I'm tired of them. I can't even move my right arm right now. And I can't turn my head because my neck hurts. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm tired of being that guy.
Yeah. That girl. You can stop now. I just wanted to say we've got it. You've done your duty for the show.
I've done enough.
And Leslie Wiley's back today, too, with Horse Nation. She's coming back with the Wacky World of Horses, so we'll have her back, plus some more news and things like that from the, and some Olympic wrap-up.
A pretty spectacular daily Winnie, which we will play for you now.
Okay.
Well, you're first. We do it.
Well, my daily Winnie goes out to a guy who broke his neck. He has a metal hip. You saw him use a stepladder to get on his horse at the Olympics. He's 58 years old, and he's now the gold medal winner in jumping, Nick Skelton. I mean, when you saw that photo of him on a stepladder to get on his horse, you would have thought that it was somebody who was not winning a gold medal at the Olympics. You know, kudos to him. I'm not too far off his age, and he makes me feel younger. So good for you, Nick. It was his 7th attempt to win an individual gold. 7th attempt to win an individual gold. And he did it with his horse, Big Star. So, you know, I don't know what else to say other than what a great, great, great showing he had. And it was an exciting
awesome
competition.
Show jumping competition. It was great. I watched every second of it and then rewatched it when all of my students came over. It was just super fun to watch. And he is such a beautiful rider. Even with a metal hip and a bad, I don't know, whatever.
I think he's broken almost everything. So
yeah. So see,
he and Bruce Davidson are having a competition to see who can break more.
I'm like right there with Nick Skelton.
Yeah. You are. You're pretty close. You need a metal hip
nothing
now and you'll be good to go.
Nothing
you'll win a gold medal if you get a metal hip, see?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. See? So anyway, he gets my daily Winnie for sure.
I love the mare Beholder. Beholder has been just a spectacular race mare for several years now, but nobody touched him. Nobody touched him. He broke and was out in front. I'm talking, of course, about California Chrome. Let's hear the race.
That wishes for big matchups. We finally have one. California Chrome on the inside. Defending champ Beholder towards the outside along with Dortmund. It's post time for the 2016 TVG Pacific Classic.
Roar from the Del Mar crowd as they sent on the way in the TVG Pacific Classic. California Chrome bounced out the gate, and California Chrome sprinting away to lead them clear early. California Chrome's moved about six horses off the rail and has the lead. Beholder is in second, and Dortmund is right there third. Delmore on the outside is fourth. Opportunities down at the rail, then Hard Aces. Imperative in the goals, six off them, and then back to Win the Space and War Story. Into the turn they go, and no turning back for Victor Espinosa. Now he's all alone out on the front on California Chrome. California Chrome, nice and relaxed though, just tugging away, leads it by just over two. Beholder a very comfortable second, and Dortmund on the far side. Opportunity scrapes paint, and Delmore's right there in fifth. Only three lengths covers them all now. Then Win the Space, Hard Aces at the rail, Imperative between them, and War Story is last. They've just run past the 5/8 pole, and Victor Espinosa's letting California Chrome stride. And California Chrome strides on now. He leads by three big lengths. Beholder is tracking from second. Dortmund on the far side, having to be asked to keep up a little now. Then Opportunity, Delmore behind that. They've been followed by Hard Aces at the rail. In behind that comes Win the Space, Imperative, and last of all, War Story. Now comes the test as they come to the top of the lane. California Chrome. Victor Espinosa took a confident look back. California Chrome is strong on the lead. Beholder is set down now by Gary Stevens. Dortmund on the outside, an Opportunity homeward bound, and California Chrome is threatening to turn this one into a romp. Victor Espinosa hasn't even thought about the sticks. One of the greatest performances you'll ever see. California Chrome in a canter. California Chrome, unbelievable. Beholder certainly not disgraced in second.
Let me just say that he has now won 13,252,650 dollars. From 14 wins and 23 starts, he has won six races straight. All five races straight in 2016.
He's still a boy, right? He's a stallion, right?
You know, it's funny you mentioned that, because you're going to go, why are they still racing?
Well, that's what I thought of, right?
So there's a very well-known horse person that has a lot of experience in the horse racing world. And I'm not going to say his name, but he told me, he's like, because I said the same thing. I'm like, why haven't they retired him? And this person said, because he's probably sterile. They took him back to the farm at one point, and then they brought him back out. He goes, I bet he's sterile.
Is he? You think?
That's what that was his guess. So that's just a slight prediction. Oh my gosh, I hope that's not
but
true.
But it just goes to show, if they do run him a little longer, what can happen? You know,
yeah.
He's probably going to win Horse of the Year again this year. You know,
he's just getting better and better,
yeah,
isn't he?
Yeah. I mean, just incredible.
They changed his silks.
He literally was
owner.
Loping across the finish line at this race, yeah, about 10 lengths ahead of everybody else. He made it look easy.
It was unreal.
And when he took the lead, didn't you get nervous in the beginning when he took the lead immediately? And it was like, oh, he's done. Yeah.
I just, you know what? Let me just tell you, I would have crushed if I hadn't had to delete the gambling app from my phone.
Because your husband made you.
No, he didn't make me. It was enough for me. I would have crushed that trifecta. You know, the trifecta probably paid $3.
$3, yeah.
You
spent 10
too.
And probably paid 3.
I would have picked Opportunity and 4-2, son of a gun. So one of those should have, could have, would have. But I mean, it was unreal. That horse is unstoppable. And the fact that he beat Beholder kind of in our home in California, and they're California boys. And how awesome is it that we've got two California horses that are taking over the world? West Coast, baby.
Yeah, that's good. So, it was a fun race to watch. It really was. He's a cool horse. And he really was just loping across the finish line. He's like, yeah. I got this. No problem.
I know. So,
well, you know, somebody we'll else.
It's going to be an unreal Breeders' Cup Classic.
Yes. Sure. Yes, unreal. It will be. And he's the one to beat. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Well, you know, our following guest is brought to you today by Omega Alpha Equine. It is our guest of the week. Lindsay Partridge is with us. She is the reigning champion of the America's Most Wanted Thoroughbred competition last year. We talked to her right after that. She specializes in retraining off-the-track thoroughbreds and recently played herself. And you know you've made it when you're playing yourself in a film called Unbridled. Welcome back, Lindsay. You know, I thought this might be the case. I don't think Lindsay can hear us, Jennifer. I think we're having a problem with our call-in studio, Jamie, and I think it's not our fault this time. It's actually the call-in studio's problem. So
we have a movie star on hold.
I know. I think what I'm going to have to do is actually call her from Skype.
Oh,
so we'll have to call her live on the air here, so I'm going to drop her off. Sorry about this, everybody. This is what happens on our 1500 episode. We go back to, like, day one with the terrible technology we had when we first started. It's just to bring us back the memory of it. So I'm going to call her right now live. So you're going to hear this, unfortunately.
Is she on hold, though?
No, I dropped her off. I dropped her off. And I don't think we're going to get Jennifer back on that system either. This appears to be a system problem.
Well, I was just noticing that on the Breeders' Cup, there's a contest where you can win VIP sweepstakes at BreedersCupVIP.com.
Oh, here we go. Let's hope
lifetime.
Hope this works.
Once in a life.
Hello.
Lindsay, it's Glenn and Jamie. How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Good. We're having technical problems with our other system, so I called you a different way, and you are on the air now. We gave you this big introduction. Did you hear it?
No, I couldn't hear anything.
Oh, you didn't hear me introducing, saying how wonderful you are and what a superstar movie person you are, and that when you play yourself in a movie, that means you've made it, and you're making $10 million a year? Did you hear all that?
I wish. Can you send that check my way? Because that'd be great.
You didn't get that check yet? The $10 million?
No.
Well, we're glad you're back. Welcome back to the show. You know, you're the reigning champ of the Thoroughbred Makeover last year, and now it's coming up on that again this year. Are you going? Do you have a horse?
I do. I actually have three horses going down, two for
what?
Myself.
One wasn't enough? You took three this year?
My student that came with me last year, she's 14 now. She was with me. She was the one that was the cow that I roped. She wore a cow costume for me last year, and I roped her on during my freestyle routine. And this year I'm letting her take one thoroughbred of mine. So she's got my 3-year-old. You got to be kidding. She's taking him in the trail. And
wait a minute.
Sure,
his name is You Got to Be Kidding.
You got to be kidding.
That's great.
Is that a good name?
That's a great name.
So she's got him ready for trail. And then she's sort of figuring out what she's going to do for a second discipline. And then I've got two for myself. I've got a really cool looking gray named Trivia Time that has these kind of like polka dot spots on her. So everybody always thinks she looks pretty interesting, and she's super brave and super awesome. So we're putting together a freestyle routine, and we're all ready for trail. And then I have a bay gelding, really flashy guy with four white socks and a blaze named Pentland. And he is ready for trail, and we are just trying to get ready for Field Hunter.
Well, you know, Mary Kitzmiller has one this year. She co-hosts here occasionally, and she was disappointed to see that you were coming back because you are the reigning champ, and your freestyles are tough to beat.
So we'll see. It's going to be hard this year. They've got some extreme Mustang makeover people that are entered, and they've got somebody who does the Arabian Nights shows coming down. So I'm willing to bet that it's going to be very, very tough competition. So I'm definitely upping my game.
Well,
I've
good.
Been purposely keeping things kind of secret as to what I'm planning with my horse. I don't want to give away what I'm doing, but I hope it'll be a good show for everybody watching. So
you know you're a big deal if you have to keep it a secret.
That's right.
I don't want anybody to know. And then that way, if it all, you know, gets screwed up, nobody has an idea of what
right.
I'm doing.
So. That's right. They don't know you screwed it up. So now, are you allowed to bring both horses in and do Roman riding? Can you bring them both at the same time?
Wouldn't that be fun? I would probably fall off, though, because I've never done that before.
Oh, really? I would have thought you had done that before.
No way.
Well, now, how did this movie thing come about? How did you become a movie star?
Well, I wouldn't say I'm a movie star, but it was a lot of fun. Basically, it was kind of a comedy of events where I'm the president of the Natural Horsemanship Association. So
you are?
They called, yeah.
I didn't know that. You're like 12 years old.
I'm like 30. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to be 40 on my next big birthday. That's kind of scary. They called us actually looking for kind of like sponsorship for their movie. They were looking for basically buy-in from the horse community. And because it's a natural horsemanship focused film, they called the Natural Horsemanship Association and spoke to my mom, who's the secretary. And as good mothers do, she then boasted about, oh, do you know about my daughter? She just won the Thoroughbred Makeover and yada, yada, yada. So it was actually my mother that scored me the role in the movie and kind of turned things around. And because they were really looking for somebody who could connect to the horse community and, you know, have a real aspect to the film. So they had me look over the whole script and sort of make sure that it made sense. There were a few things that were kind of like, that's not really what horse people do. So that was kind of nice that when you guys watch the film, it should seem like it's real because they had us go through it and make sure that it all made sense.
You mean there's not going to be any fake Winnies any place? Because that drives us insane.
I hope not. I hope not. I haven't watched the whole film, but I got to see some of the back end footage of the role with my horses. So Soar gets to play herself and we do a little freestyle bareback and bridleless routine for the girls kind of as like a treat in the film. And then my Palomino quarter horse, the way this kind of rolled out was actually kind of funny too, where my student Franny, she's the 14-year-old that's taking You Gotta Be Kidding down. I wanted her to come with me because I didn't want to be by myself for a month and a half and have to do everything. I wanted to have somebody come with me, but she didn't want to come for a month and a half and not be able to ride. So I was like, could I bring my quarter horse Dreamer along? He's, you know, really cool, does a whole lot of stuff. And they're like, oh yeah. And they saw a picture of him and I showed him some of the stuff that he could do. And they're like, oh, he could play the lead role. And I was like, great. So, and he hadn't done any movies before. So he knew a lot of things because he does extreme cowboy racing, but he hadn't learned how to lay down or rear or anything like that. So I had a couple weeks notice and found out that I had to teach him to rear, lay down, to play dead and do a whole bunch of other things. And it just kind of gave me a really good challenge, but that's how he got the role in the movie. And he ended up being a superstar. His very first night on set, it was a nighttime shot. So we trailered out to this location that we'd never been before. And it's pitch dark and they've got the lights all up and we'd gone through sort of a horse safety thing, like, you know, let me know if you're going to move big machinery and stuff like that, because all of these scenes are pretty much done at liberty where the horse is just standing there, no ropes, no nothing. And of course it's not fenced in or anything because it's just some random location that we're filming off site. So Dreamer's, you know, set up and there's a big green screen behind him and all this sort of stuff around. And they're just waving these light things around that are reflecting the light, these big like styrofoam white square things. And he's just sort of standing there like, this is a different type of extreme cowboy race we're doing today. And he was just awesome. He just stood there and did everything that he was supposed to do.
Very cool. Very cool. Now, you were there for a month and a half, and probably you'll have, what, about 1 minute in the movie? I mean, that's usually how it goes, right?
pretty much, maybe a minute and a half. Well, Dreamer, he gets more time in the movie than I do, but he's got quite a few. He's a pretty big deal in the movie, but...
Did you meet any big name celebrities while you were there?
There were some people down there like Eric Roberts. He's like a famous villain. He plays a lot of villains in various things. So that's
was he
Julia
the dad?
Roberts' brother. Yeah, he's the dad.
Oh, so you know, I watched the trailer for this. This is a deep movie.
The trailer kind of makes it look like it's going to be pretty intense, and it does touch on some pretty deep, like, some issues, but it's going to be family friendly. So if you're watching the trailer and thinking, like, whoa, like, this is...
I got to tell you, the trailer looks like it's going to be almost a horror film. I mean, you see this trailer and you think Lifetime movie. I'm not thinking family PG here.
It's going to have some moments that are probably going to make you cry, but it doesn't show anything that's going to be too...
Okay.
Like, nothing too gory or anything like that. There's stuff that's hinted at or alluded to, but you don't have to worry about any, traumatizing scenes if you're going to watch this with kids. But it's kind of intended, I think, for the sort of young teen to the adult populations. It's not, even though it's got horses in it, I don't know that, like, really young kids would want to watch it. It's not really, it's more for the young teen and up sort of audience. And it touches on that sort of topic that's becoming more aware about, which is like a sexual trafficking, which we're becoming more aware that it's happening even in our own countries and it's not just abroad. And so I think it's important that it's raising awareness about that. And, but it does it on a sort of a very back end, like it hints at it, but you don't see any of that. So you don't have to worry about that.
And you know, obviously her salvation then, it shows in the trailer, is the horses. And that's her happy spot. And that's true for so many people. Well, you know, you also had an opportunity, thanks to Omega Alpha, is one of the sponsors of the movie and put up some money towards it. And you got to use some of their products on set. And I hear they even have some product placement.
Yeah, it was my very... So I've never done a movie before. I do my YouTube channel, but that's easy because I get to say what I want. And then my very first scene was the scene that has the product placement for Omega Alpha. And it was so awkward. Rachel Hendricks was a superstar. She was so kind. She was the actress that I was working with that day. She just was in the feature film October Baby. You might know her from... And she's such a sweetheart. So she was, giving me tips and helping me out, because it's hard to memorize, the lines and memorize the body actions, and you have to repeat it because they have to get the different angle shots. So every time you have to do it again. And it was so awkward. It was horrible. Oh my goodness. I wish I could go back and do it again. And it was so awkward that just the way it was flowing, it wasn't flowing very naturally. So I said, you know what, can we just improv this a little bit? It's my first time. Can I just sort of go off the map a little bit? And they let me do that, thank goodness. And then it ended up working out a heck of a lot better. but when I watched the footage back, I'm like, oh, I should have slowed down. It's horrible. But then my next scene on set was with the horse, and that went a heck of a lot better. So
yeah, better with horses than humans.
Yeah, but it was good. And it was nice because I use Omega Alpha products all the time. So
I
actually knew what I was saying.
So. I heard you used there while you were there, because this was in Georgia. It was in Atlanta?
North Carolina.
Omega Alpha Lung Flush and the Airwaves. We've talked about both of those products. And I read that you guys used them while you were there.
Yeah, well, Dreamer has, like, his breathing can be a little bit iffy sometimes. So he tends to breathe really heavy. We don't really know why, but when we use the Airwaves and the Lung Wash, it helps him. So even though he eats out of nibble nets, like, he doesn't eat out of the round bill or anything, he was still, like, I don't know if it's just because the hot air or whatnot, but he was just, his nostrils would be flaring. So he gets those. So he gets his rescue free every single day, even at home here. But down there, we were giving him some Lung Wash and other stuff too. I like to use the natural products that they make, because they don't have any of the side effects that sometimes happen when you use other types of medication. So I don't have to worry about giving him, like a steroid or something that's going to cause other issues long term. I like that I can just give it every single day and not have to worry about it. So they're definitely work, and they're good products for sure.
And do you use Anti-Flam too?
Yeah. So I like Anti-Flam because like a lot of people give Bute if their horses get sore or inflammation. Yeah. But, like after they use that for a couple of days, it usually hurts their stomach. And there's been some studies to say that it can even start to deteriorate cartilage and stuff like that. So I just try to stick with the anti-inflam. When we're trailering, like we haul all in one day, 12 hours down, 12 hours back. We even went to Florida for the weekend, and that was like 8 hours there, 8 hours back. So I just give them some of that stuff just to help with making sure that any inflammation sort of helped and taken care of, and not just good for their joints. Try to do preventative measures.
Well, and of course, you can find all of the products at OmegaAlphaEquine.com. And, you know, I know Jamie uses a bunch of the products. My pony uses Respifree because he has a cough. So yep. He uses that. And, you know, we just love their products. And I'm so glad that they were involved in this and helping you out through all of this, too. they are a really good company. And when are we going to get to see your movie?
Yeah, they haven't released the final date yet. I know it's coming out early next year. So I guess we all have to stay tuned and find out when. I just got to watch the footage like last week of the horse scenes. They sent me Dreamer's demo reel because we're getting geared up to film a second movie.
Can you say anything?
It's kind of going to be... It's gonna be called Dreamer, and it's going to be basically about him and a girl that sort of connects with him. So we're getting sort of things in line.
Look at you!
Yeah, we might have Amber Marshall in this one, so that would be pretty exciting. And we have a contract
not to, already. Not to be whatever. Isn't there already a movie called Dreamer?
I don't think so. Sure,
the one with the racehorse in Dreamer, the Disney movie, I don't know, whatever. I'm sure it's totally different.
I'm not up to date on my Disney movie, so I don't know. We'll have to look into that. But
yeah,
The working title.
That'd be confusing. Well, his name's Dreamer, so maybe we'll have to call it, I don't know, like Dreamer the Paladin.
Dreamer 2. I don't
know. Yeah. Dreamer.
Dreamer the second.
Now, I wanted to also point out, we've talked about Eric Roberts on this show, because Eric Roberts is the consummate actor. Like there's a movie called Dreamer with Dakota Fanning. It's a horse movie, just so you know.
Oh.
2005. Okay. Just trying to
good
just
memory
to throw
there,
that
Jamie.
Out there. Thank you. I've seen it. I cried. Okay. So we've talked about Eric Roberts on the show and the fact that that dude is in every movie, movie around. That guy is in it, and he plays a villain in most of them. And I wanted to quiz you and see if you could tell me, since you guys wrapped this and this movie was finished, how many movies you think he's done since then?
Oh, I have no idea. You want me to just guess?
Oh, I want you to guess. How many movies do you think he's been either in the post-production, filming, announced, completed, or is slated to do production in, pre-production? Guess how many movies. Now,
five.
That's what I was going to say five, but I have
higher.
No idea.
Higher? God, we all need this guy's agent. Who's his agent? Is what I'm gonna
know. Really.
He is like the man, I guess. Keep going.
20?
Keep going.
What?
20. They're like barely that many days. 25. Yeah.
Keep going.
What? 40?
42 movies. He has been a part
how
of.
How is that?
I don't know.
How is that possible? There's only been like 4 months, and each movie takes like a month to film.
Unbridled is currently in post-production, and he has since then been in filming, post-production, or completed, or in pre-production of 42.
We really do need his agent, Lindsay. You got to find out who his agent is.
Yeah, really.
Gets hired, okay? He is the man. So you are with like a total movie star. That guy is in everything. So congratulations.
And I think once a lot of these actors, once they get stereotyped in something, like this guy being the villain, they try and fight it. I don't want to be a villain for. No, you just go with that and take the paychecks home. Yeah. You know, right?
Well, he does it so well. Watching him work,
he's
was
creepy.
Really incredible. He does it so well.
He does.
But he's actually, you know, He's not creepy in real life. He just plays it really well on screen.
I'd be scared to meet him. He's so creepy in these shows. And then, you know, it's always, Lindsay, isn't always the sitcom people that are making $1 million an episode that quit because they want to, they don't want to be stereotyped or, you know, typecast with that role. It's like, you take your $1 million an episode till they're not going to give it to you anymore. And then go do something else.
Yeah, sure. Typecast me as a horsewoman.
Don't care.
I'll roll with it.
Typecast me as a creepy clown. I'll play a creepy clown for $1 million an episode all the rest of my life. I'll be happy to do that.
This is going to be the classic Eric Roberts movie that's going to come out. It's got to come out at Christmas time. It's called Santa's Boot Camp. And Eric Roberts plays a mall Santa.
Oh, okay? No.
And they're slating it as Willy Wonka meets the Breakfast Club at Christmas. When kids become so bratty and self-centered that Santa elves go on strike, Santa, in desperation, must bring 6 unscrupulous youths to his boot camp to help save Christmas. Starring Eric Roberts. Eric Roberts is Santa Claus.
How did you not get a role in that one, Lindsay?
They were using horses to pull the sleigh.
Yes, you could have got a part. You could have been the driver, the elf driver.
That's my new Christmas favorite.
All right, we're totally off topic here. Lindsay, thank you so much for joining us. Good luck in the makeover again in October with your horses and your student's horse. You know, the only thing cooler would be if your student beat you. That would be cool. That's always cool when you're a coach, right?
She beat me actually at Can-Am. Well, we raced at Can-Am, and they did a shootout race where you had to run head-to-head, and we both were advancing through the levels. And she beat me. I was on Soar and she was on Dreamer, and she beat me by like a matter of seconds. But then I ended up having the fastest time from the weekend overall. So she beat me once, but I kind of beat her overall. So I think it sort of worked out perfect. But the crowd loved it. So it was good.
It's good when your student wins, but not too much. Just not too often.
Yeah, she's been rocking it. So it's good.
Well, thank you, Lindsay. What's your website or Facebook page where people can find you?
Either harmonyhorsemanship.ca or on Facebook is Harmony Horsemanship and then TM for trademark.
Well, and we thank Omega Alpha Equine for helping get this together and for being part of this project and for supporting you. They are very picky about who they support, and I think they picked a good one. So thank you.
Congratulations on all your success. And don't think that it did not get slide by me that you were like, oh, I had to teach my horse how to lay down and do all these things real quick. That's amazing.
It's fun. It was a lot of fun. So thank you so much, guys, for having me. I can't wait for the movie to come out.
We need you back on after you win again in October, okay?
Oh, goodness. Don't put too much pressure on me.
No pressure at all, Lindsay. Just go win so we can have you back, all right?
I'll try my best.
All right. See you, Lindsay.
Okay. Bye, guys.
Bye.
We'll have her student on when she wins.
That's right.
There you go.
Well, that was fun.
I'm sorry. You get me started on Eric Roberts. I can't stop.
I just can't believe she was in a movie. And he, when you watch a trailer for this movie, he is creepy in this movie. I mean,
he's super creepy. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure.
I don't think I'd even want to meet him. I think I'd be freaked out because he always plays the same role. It's just like, ugh. Anyway, but his agent. We need his agent, Jamie. Maybe we'd actually get a paying gig.
Can I just say 42 movies? 42 since he's been.
Even if you're making day rate, that's not too bad. I mean, you know, he's not making day rate, so he's doing all right.
He's in 100 more times more movies than his sister, Julia.
Well, I got to tell you, there's another one that's going to be making day rate here, and that's Lucas. But before we talk about Lucas, I just wanted to give a shout out to Jane Savoy, who we've had on the show. Of course, she's you know her from the dressage world. She's kind of a legend in the dressage world. She's been on our show several times, and she has been battling cancer and did a stem cell transplant about a month ago, I think. And she's doing pretty well. She's back at home. She's working on therapy and getting back into shape. And we hope that she's lost all her hair. She jokes about that. But she's hopefully going to be back and, you know, teaching and doing her thing in the dressage world here very soon. And we're thinking about you, Jane, and we give you great big hugs and hope everything works out with the stem cell transplant. I don't even know how they go about doing that. That is something out of science fiction. But we hope it helps.
Amazing.
And then Lucas over the weekend. My God, he's going to be in the movies just because he can't get any cuter a child than your child, Lucas.
He is adorable. He is so stinking adorable. So I got a phone call from a girlfriend of mine on Friday afternoon saying, hey, we're going to go up to the barrel race at the local arena. And I'm going to bring her son, Grayson, and their pony, Chance. And they have a youth division for the barrel race. She's like, do you want Lucas to ride Chance in the youth division? So I asked Lucas if he wanted to go to a horse show. Oh, my God. He wanted to go to a horse show. I want to go to a horse show. I want to go to a horse show. I want to go to a horse show. I was like, you're going to ride. He's like, I'm going to ride. And I'm going to win. I was like, that's my boy. So he went to the barrel race, and it's really cute. This is like a little miniature pony. Sorry, miniature horse. Mini horse, and he's a little paint. And his name is Chance. And they put a little Western, like little postage stamp Western saddle on, and you basically can go in and barrel race and lead the horse through the barrels.
So it's a lead line barrel race?
Well, some of the kids, first of all, let me just jump in there and say all these people that let their kids on their own barrel horses, and the little girls are like 8 or 9 and the children have no freaking helmets
hanging on for dear life.
Hanging on for dear life with no helmets. Like, kill yourself. Don't kill your children. Anyway, so Lucas is on Chance, and it's a lead line barrel race. And I don't know what happened to me, but I start to lead him out there, and I'm heading to the first barrel. It's like, you know, it's hard to walk in, deep footing. I've got one hand, the left hand on the lead rope pulling forward because it's a little lazy thing. And then I've got one hand on a death grip on Lucas's leg because if the pony wiggles at all, he's gone, you know. So I'm holding on for dear life. And I get to, and Luke, everybody's cheering for him on the gallop. Like, it's a pretty popular little thing. And everybody's cheering. And Lucas is waving at the crowd.
Oh, my gosh.
Hand in the air, like Queen Elizabeth waving, you know, elbow, elbow, wrist, wrist, elbow, elbow, wrist, wrist, like waving. And I realize, I don't know where I'm going. I know I'm supposed to head to
the right, Jamie. To left or right.
You get out there, and I know there's a barrel, and I'm heading to the barrel, and I'm like, which side do I go to? And they're like, outside. So I start to go the outside. They're like, no, the other outside. I'm not kidding.
Tell how many barrel races you've ridden.
I mean, and there's all these people that are watching Lucas, and they're cheering, and they're
everybody's
all like,
laughing
no,
their asses
other
off.
Way, other way. So my friend Tara is standing up on the sidelines, and she told me this later, that this girl turns to her and goes, why doesn't she know where to go? How does she not know the barrel pattern? And my friend Tara turns to her and goes, she's English. And he goes, oh, yeah.
That girl.
Oh. So I thought that was pretty hilarious. So he did his little barrel race. And if you ask him what he won, he'll say M&Ms. Oh, and a ribbon. They gave him M&Ms.
It's priority, M&Ms.
Jennifer, he's a boy. Maybe you can post a picture of him waving to the crowd. It's pretty funny. Oh, my gosh. It was adorable. I laughed hysterically. And you can see how dressed up I got for the event. But, yeah, she's English. She's English. Oh. It looks different when you're down there. And you see those horses go in and out so fast. I don't know. Cloverleaf, I didn't know if I'd go right. And then they go on the outside of it and then loop back around. And then they told me that way. And I start to go that way. And, like, the whole crowd of strangers is yelling at me at the second barrel at this point. Because they're all like,
two lefts and a right. That's all you have to remember. Two lefts and a right.
No, because you go to the left side of the barrel and then you go right around the barrel. So there's more than two lefts and a right. Thank you.
Okay, stick with that.
It was like a right and then a right around to the left.
That's okay.
And
you can try
right
and make it
and
sound more
left.
Complicated than it was. You could do that. It's
I'm
fine.
Just telling you, it's like when you get on the ground, it just looks different.
God, you know? Dude, we cannot let this woman out with a gun doing mounted shooting. The whole audience will be ducking. She'll be.
Oh my gosh, why would you even suggest I do that?
I think it'd be funny to watch, but dangerous probably. Speaking of dangerous, let's hear from Templeton Thompson first, and then we're going to come back, and we got to hear what the hell happened to you over the weekend.
My injury.
Yeah, your injury. We'll hear about that. But I wanted to go back. It's 1500, and I believe this is the first song we played on the show, and that was Templeton Thompson's Girls and Horses. So I think we have to play it again. And Tempe, by the way, will be here on Wednesday. So she'll be joining us on Wednesday. And I know she was one of the first guests we've ever had on the show. So she'll be back here on Wednesday. But Girls and Horses.
She talks about him, dreams about him, thinks about him all the time. She's got to have him, be lost without him. You can see it in her eyes. What is it? What is it with girls and horses? She says, now when I was a young girl, they were my whole world. They were my one safe place. Now that I'm older, still lean on their shoulders, I still feel like that girl some days. What is it? What is it with girls? What is
Templeton Thompson with Girls and Horses. You can find all of her music at templetonthompson.com. You're listening to Horses in the Morning, episode number 1500. I wanted to give a thank you to Angie and Lily, who stopped out. Angie is a auditor of ours. Angela Bailey and her friend Lily were down here horse shopping, and they took us out to dinner, Jennifer and I out to dinner on Saturday night. Thank you so much for dinner, guys. And then they came out on Sunday morning and met the ponies, and we posted pictures of that on our Facebook pages. So, and Scooter once again won the Stinking Cute Award. So, and then there's Nigel.
And, you know, I noticed from the videos that he is very interested in your hands.
Yeah, he's...
And maybe, it's almost like you feed him lots of treats.
Maybe. Maybe just a little. I might have had treats along to keep him away from Nigel, who doesn't like Nigel to participate in any activities that, you know, involve being loved on. So it was fun. We had a good time with them. And Lily is not a listener, although after this weekend, I think she might be. We might have converted her. So then they were horse shopping down here. I don't think they found anything. She just wrote me a note this morning that said the cutest horse she saw all weekend was Scooter. So, and Scooter wouldn't make a great event horse. No,
he's not eventing.
So what happened to you again?
Oh my gosh, what a jerk. No, he's not a jerk. So this little thoroughbred, big thoroughbred, he's about 16'2", that's living here. We bought him for a client a couple months ago, and he is leaving at the beginning of September to go to a very fancy hunter jumper barn. But she's been here kind of trying to get to know him and having me help a little bit. And so she had a lesson Saturday morning, and I rode him and immediately kind of got him in this hunter frame, and he learned it rather quickly because he was a racehorse and an event horse. So he learned it rather quickly, was very happy to do it, but I noticed he has a real problem kind of moving. He doesn't understand what moving off your leg means. So one of the exercises that I will do for that is you take them to the fence and you take away the forward motion by putting their nose in the corner, and you put your leg on them on the left side and you hold it there until they take a step to the right. So you're basically pressure, and then as soon as they take the step, you can feel their hips kick over to the opposite direction. You release, pressure and release. So we're doing it on his left side. It's great. And he's lovely to ride going to the left, shocker, racehorse thing. Mm-hmm. And then I go to the right side, and at this point, his student is sitting on him. And I was trying to explain this whole thing to her. So I walk over to his right side, and I put my hand on his side next to her leg, and I'm helping her just kind of like push. That sucker cold cocked me out of nowhere. He bit my shoulder, but didn't just bite me, more like pushed me, like hit me with his top teeth. To the point that I have top like teeth marks on my shoulder, you know, and I realized too, obviously that could potentially be an ulcer thing like Jennifer just typed, but also what he kind of does, and maybe this is related to, see, that's why I come on the show. I can talk out my problems. when that happened, he hit me so hard with his teeth. He whipped around so fast.
I was going to say you were on the side of him, right?
I was on the side by his flank, and he whipped around that fast and hit me to the point. I mean, I have like the individual teeth marks.
Yeah, you've posted a picture of that. That's nasty.
That was minutes later. You should see that it's disgusting now. It's like all
black and blue. Yeah.
So he hit me so hard, it actually hit me, and I flew back 6 feet and landed on my butt, which now, of course, my butt hurts too. But he hit me so hard, it knocked me back. And in my "What Would Monty Do" bracelet, I stood up and went back to work. And I was just a little more careful the next time. But basically, he has issues with things on his right side. And I realized it when earlier in the ride, Zinni, my dog, had run by his right side and he stomped at her. And this is a really gentle, typically gentle, laid back thoroughbred. So kind of things on the lower right side of him. And the girl said, "Oh yeah, by the way, he hates it when I groom him on his right side."
There's something going on there.
So yeah, we have some holes that we have to address for sure. So we are going to go back and do some on the ground pressure and release, move them around exercises today. Monty came up with this new great way to teach a horse to move off your leg without being near them. So I went and got that tool yesterday at Walmart and made it myself. And so we're going to work on that. And my gosh, he hit me so hard that my neck hurts and my arm hurts and I can't move my shoulder. And his owners did call, Bella's mom called me, and she's like, "I'm so sorry. I'm glad it was me and not your daughter."
Yeah, you know, maybe symbiotic ache too. Maybe there is an ulcer issue.
Yeah, maybe.
Or something else going on there, too.
Well, he's the one that cut his leg and was on massive antibiotics. Now, we did keep him on Biotic 8 during the antibiotics, and then another one after that because I didn't have any more Biotic
8. But he's not that way to his left side, which is
no,
weird.
He's not that way on his left. Hmm. So, you know, who knows what happens with these racehorses. Yeah. They get in the hands of some not-so-great trainers. And
they might have used cattle prods on the right. Who knows?
You never know. Usually they're pretty more sensitive on the left to getting hit because people are right-handed. But you never know. Somebody could have been left-handed on him. But he sure got defensive. So there's this kind of training hole in there on that right lower side. So plastic bags on a stick and this moving off your leg exercise. I'll video it and show it to you guys because it's pretty cool to try. Hopefully it'll be cool. But then we tried the mounting block lesson and he moves off to the from left to right. Perfect. And then I put the lunge line around him to try to get him to give to the left and step with his left. He leaned into the pressure. I'm not making much sense. It's probably hard to visualize, but it's amazing how into pressure he is on the right side of his body and the left side of his body. He gives to pressure very easily. And on the right side, he'll lean into you like nothing. So Rio has a new life starting today.
Yes. Yeah. Time to get to work.
Yep, time to get to work.
But do it with a suit of armor, maybe.
Yeah, I love that. You're like, you don't need a t-shirt. You need a suit of armor.
Yeah, you need padding or something. Because, you know, I think everybody that's been around horses long enough has been bit. But boy, you got bit.
I got nipped one time, but I'm pretty... He was fast. He whipped around there so fast. His owner didn't have time to grab the reins. I mean,
you were in front of him, and that's how your shoulder got, you know, bit like that.
My shoulders were square to the saddle, the flap of the saddle. And wow. So that's how he got the backside of my right shoulder. He just whipped around there, and it's not like a pinch bite. He just hit me. It was like getting cold cocked. Without seeing it coming.
Yeah, you're lucky that shirt was on. You might not have, going for stitches had it not been.
If I didn't have a shirt on, then I would have definitely had stitches.
Yeah, that would have been bad. Well, I'm glad that's going to be sore for a little while.
Yeah, pretty sore. Like Chad last night, he was like, come over and snuggle. And I was like, I can't lay on my right side. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
Sorry.
Famous words of every horse girl. Sorry, yeah. Can't lay on that side. Sorry, no. Can't do that. Sorry, can't do that. Sorry, that hurts tonight. Sorry.
not tonight, honey.
We all heard that before. Tonight. It's no headache. You don't need a headache excuse when you're a horse girl. Just say, sorry, that just hurts. Yeah, nope, that hurts too.
That hurts.
Matter of fact, I'd prefer you weren't even in bed with me. Just go.
Can you just go sleep on the couch?
Yeah, exactly. Please. That's exactly what it's like.
Everything hurts.
All right, let's continue with the show here. And we have, for the first time in a long time, Leslie from Horse Nation with us. Hey, Leslie.
Hi, and happy 1500th episode?
Yes, 100, not 1000th yet. That'd be when we do 15,000, we're all going to be sitting on rockers at the old age home. I will be anyway. You guys will be young and sprightly. I'll be going. Leslie's coming on now. Leslie, we haven't talked to you in so long.
Do I sound okay to you guys? I'm kind of sitting. I'm getting my oil changed at Walmart in my truck. And I'm like in a pile of tires.
Live from Walmart. In what town do you live in again? In Tennessee.
Mm-hmm. Man, I'm telling you, there's going to be something special about a Walmart in Tennessee.
I can imagine that the guys working on your car now has pretty thick accents there in Tennessee.
Oh, yeah. But you know what? I'm looking around myself and I'm really, you know, there's some good people watching at Walmart's, right? But right now, I am the weirdo. Like, I'm literally, like, sitting on a pile of tires, like, back where I'm pretty sure I should not be back here. I'm trying to get away from, you know, the bad music, elevator music, and random PA announcements. Yeah, that's me. Just back here chilling.
If somebody takes your picture, just know that you're going to be on that website. People of Walmart.
Oh, yeah. People of Walmart. that is me. Also, I just realized I'm also wearing my riding breeches.
Oh, see? Perfect. Perfect. If you had a crop, you'd be on the People Walmart. Go get one.
Oh, man.
Oh, my gosh. So we haven't talked in so long. How's your beautiful, wonderful princess pony?
Oh, my gosh. She's so beautiful and wonderful. yeah, we actually, we have a new spirit animal, which we wrote about on Horse Nation a couple weeks ago. Lorraine Jackson does these sort of finds these wonderful sort of bits of history that are almost lost. And then she drags them out into the light and dusts them off and inspires us all with them. And so she wrote this story a couple weeks ago in advance of the Olympics about Stroller. Have you heard of Stroller?
I have, because I've seen things about this horse, but most people have not. So please, in your words, tell the story of Stroller.
Yeah. So first of all, it's a pony. It's a legit 14 two-hand pony. And looks like Stroller went to the Olympics with Marion Coates Mould, who is a British rider, back in.
I'll help you since you're sitting in Walmart. Marion and Stroller met in 1960. She was 13. He was 10 years old.
Yeah,
she was already doing jumping, but they basically bought Stroller, a thoroughbred Connemara cross, to be a jumper. And who the heck knew that when Marion turned 16 in 1963, her father thought it was high time to get his rising star daughter a bigger horse. And then she was like, no, I'm not going to do that. And then the kind of story goes on and on. You'll have to go to horsenation.com and read it. But it's the story of Marion and the pictures of Marion and Stroller clearing a Poussance fence. And did they have Poussance in 1968 in the Olympics?
I think it was, you know, they keep fiddling around with the Olympic format. And so I think for this course, they decided that they were going to have like the second fence on the course was going to be kind of a wild card Poussance fence, you know, because that makes,
also sense in the world. Yeah.
Why not? Yeah, and what would 1.7 meters high be?
27 feet. Because that's how big this dang jump looks with this pony jumping over it. So you've got to see these pictures.
You've got to see the picture. It's incredible.
It's five and a half feet.
Oh my goodness.
And this is a 14 two-hand pony. There's more poles on this dang thing than, I can't even imagine what this pony saw when she's galloping up to it. So you've got to go. But
the pony's like up against some stiff competition here also. Like it is. So Bill Steinkraus, like no big deal in his legendary Snowbound. And so they win gold. And Marion and Stroller, the little wonder pony, win silver. It's like one of the best Olympic little underdog stories ever.
That needs to be a movie, see?
I know!
they have to do a movie. Although, I mean, I would you be willing to let Princess lease her out for the filming of the movie?
Oh my goodness, she needs to be a movie star. She would be obviously the perfect to be cast as the role of Stroller.
Obviously. So another thing that you guys posted on Horse Nation was 12 events that didn't quite make it to the Olympics. And I was thinking maybe this was like a real thing, but no, you guys just made up 12 completely random stories. This is written by Kristen Kovach. And I thought, well, maybe they're talking about, you know, reining or barrel racing or whatever. No. It starts out with synchronized horse rolling.
Yeah. Didn't quite. I just, you know, I don't know. I don't know why these aren't. These would be highly entertaining, I think. We've got obstacles. We've got some sports such as this is this is one that I definitely would not be good at. The tall mount. And the premise is the horses get taller and taller and the stirrups get shorter and shorter.
Yeah. Good luck getting on that one. My favorite was the freestyle bean cleaning. Oh. Whoever cleans out the most beans wins.
Yeah, we've got some bad, I mean, some good ideas in here.
Jamie has a song for that. She has the theme song for that.
No, I don't. No, I don't. Also, do we have the marathon colic walking? Whoever can stay up all night without falling asleep on their feet wins. This could last the entirety of the Olympics. You never know.
Horse husbands need to be involved in that one. That's
that's true.
Yeah.
We've got the 200-meter trailer loading. Load the most number of ornery horses in the fastest amount of time. No stock trailers are allowed. Only small, straight load trailers with a dark interior. This is Olympic caliber, you know, competition.
And it's a step up. Yeah, exactly.
Grand Prix deworming, specifically the horse that hates warmer and is also 18 hands tall.
Tall, yeah.
Yeah.
So those are great. Go check them out on horsenation.com. And then we've got a quiz. I think I need to have, Glenn, have you taken
the quiz? No, I have not taken this yet.
What's your Olympic claim to fame? I need to start.
Yeah. So, so clearly we have a little bit of we're having a little bit of a hard time letting go of the Olympics at Horse Nation. So this is one, we've got a whole buffet of Olympic hangover pieces. This being one of them, so we're to the point of the Olympics are, coming to a close and we think back on what is the legacy of the Rio Olympics. It's not always who wins the most medals. It can also, Simone or Michael Phelps. It can also be there's other ways to become Olympic infamous, such as see Ryan Lochte's shenanigans.
Yikes.
And so we decided to do a little quiz about what's your Olympic claim to fame? What would you be remembered for if you and your horse went to the Olympic Games? And it might not be because you jumped the highest and or ran the fastest or did the prettiest prancing. It might be something a little more unique than that. You should, there's only six, there's six questions. I highly recommend taking it. It was determined that my pony would become famous for, escaping her stall in the night and getting lost on the cross country course.
It's pretty close.
Being found out on the cross country course, stepping her face.
That's pretty close, except her getting lost finally was your fault, not hers. Mine actually, Scooter is famous for eating the flowers, making the letters in the dressage arena.
Oh my goodness!
He stops and eat the flowers, and he would so do that too.
I took the Zeus. The Zeus line, and it said that the judges didn't appreciate it, but the fans did go wild from my dressage freestyle to the musical stylings of Macklemore. My one stride tempies to the thrift shop were only bested by your pee off to Downtown.
Oh my gosh.
I'm glad it wasn't in sync. I really
am. Someone please make that happen, though? Some listener out there, please.
That's funny. That's funny. Hey, I got this thing while you're on here. WKOB, I don't even know where WKOB is, but Albuquerque, New Mexico, did a story on the 10 memorable equestrian moments from Rio. Do you want to see if we all agree with these? Of course, Michael Young making history with back-to-back eventing gold, right? Mm-hmm. USA's oldest competing Olympian, Philip Dudding, earning his first individual eventing title. So that was pretty cool. Laura Graves, of course, coming and just kicking butt and, winning U.S. dressage team. They actually they were on the podium for the first time as a team since 2004, the American team. Did you guys watch the Spanish rider Severo doing his horse Lorenzo performing Smooth to Smooth by Santana? Did you watch that freestyle? Oh my God.
That's what I told you. The horse, it was awesome. The horse just was wringing its tail the whole time, and I didn't know if that counted off. That's when I was asking Victoria.
It was pretty cool, though. I didn't know that was the one you were talking about. Of course, Charlotte, you know. And they put here, Charlotte seals the deal on gold and a fiancé. So, we were talking about that last week, and we were wondering if it was a little off. Leslie, your opinion, as a nice Southern Tennessee girl, do you think that that was bad timing on his part? Kind of took a little bit off of her?
I think you got to do what you got to do. Why not make a scene? Why not?
That'd be Leslie's answer. Make a scene.
Why not make a scene?
Of course, Isabel Wirth on her 10th Olympic medal. And, you know, I mean, what more can you say? She is the queen of dressage. France, 2 gold medals for France. Who saw that coming? I didn't see it coming. I don't know. Did you see it coming, Leslie?
I knew they'd be, not for the jumping.
No.
I know they've been, you know,
What'd they get 2 gold medals in? Sorry for asking.
They won the eventing and they won team jumping. They won both.
I knew they'd be right up there in the mix with the eventing. I put them in the medals, but, you know, I don't think anybody saw them taking out Germany.
Yeah,
France has been on fire this year.
Michael Young won the individual.
Right.
But yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
France won the team. Okay. Yeah. I was confused.
Right.
And then, we had a 6-man jump off. They have this listed. Of course, we talked about it earlier in the show. Nick Skelton just doing amazingly well in that, and with his broken, his replaced hip and getting on a stepladder to climb on board. Just, it was an amazing sight to see at the Olympics.
Yeah.
It's not something you see in jumping or in any of the track and field. You don't usually see them, waddling out there and getting on a stepladder to do something. Mm-hmm. You don't see that with the pole vaulters too often, but you can see it in the horse world.
Mm-hmm. You sure can.
And one other thing, too. Did you guys see that Elizabeth Letts' new book is out? Comes out tomorrow, The Perfect Horse. Did you see that?
No.
Yes. You know, she's the one that wrote The $80 Champion, and we had her on the show. She was a lovely guest. And she has her... And I can't wait. I already signed up on Audible to get this book tomorrow. It's called The Perfect Horse, and it's the daring U.S. mission to rescue the priceless stallions kidnapped by the Nazis. Uh-huh. And we all know she can write a book. I can't wait to read this book. I just can't wait to hear this book.
She must do six years of research to write one book.
Yeah.
I mean, she's incredible.
Yeah, this is about Patton wanted to get him out, and actually the Germans helped. And I mean, it was just an incredible true story. Uh-huh. And I can't wait to see. This is going to be a New York Times bestseller. Uh-huh. I mean, it'll be a great book. It's called The Perfect Horse. So if you want to look it up and order it on Amazon, get your order in. Because there you go. You have a story about that.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, that's exciting.
Yep. So can't wait to hear that one.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Well, thank you, Leslie.
Thank you, guys. Have a great week.
Good luck at the Walmart.
Give Princess a cookie from us.
I totally did get busted just a few minutes ago. I don't know if you heard the guy come in, but he just gave me the stink eye and walked around me to get pull a tire off the shelf. I'm like, sorry.
Just don't get the black tire crap on your breeches. I mean,
no.
Who needs that?
Nobody needs that.
He probably thought you were talking to your boyfriend.
Yeah.
Because she's picking up a lot of guys in the Walmart looking like that.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Leslie. HorseNation.com.
Bye. Take care, guys.
Bye.
Hey, we have a last-minute addition to the lineup today. Just heard from one of our auditors by the name of Stephanie Eileen, who's been here to the studio before in Ocala. And we love when we hear from our listeners when they're doing fun, adventurous things and they're out and about. Well, she's out and about right now and has made her first trip to Tryon. So she went to North Carolina to see Tryon and apparently had quite an adventure yesterday. So she's, of course, Tryon is the one that placed the bid for the WAG. So we can get a firsthand accounting of somebody seeing Tryon for the first time. And I'm going to call her right on the air right now because of our other issue here. So we're going to get Stephanie Eileen on and find out all about her adventures at Tryon. She was so super nice. They came in and sat in on a show one time when they were down here in Ocala. Oh, Stephanie, really? Are you there?
Yes.
How I'm are here. You?
Okay, I'm good. How are you?
Good. Jamie and I, you're live, by the way. So, don't say anything bad about us until we hang up.
No pressure.
Okay. Stephanie, you're making your first trip to Tryon. What's it like?
I am. It's pretty incredible. And surprisingly, not what I would have anticipated at all. You know,
really?
I kind of heard, well, I just, not necessarily like the Equestrian Center, or just the fact that I have spent so little time in the quote unquote South. So, and actually my mother's friend had moved down here recently and kind of scared me, but she's in a little bit different of an area. It's beautiful. I mean, it's absolutely visually stunning. And surprisingly, you know, being that I'm coming from New York, much more sophisticated than I would have anticipated as well.
Hold on.
Yeah, you live in New York. She lives in New York City. So, yeah.
You live in New York, but what were people warning you about the South? That everybody is
Yeah, Jamie, you got Jamie's ire up now.
No, not even that. Just mostly about the food. Just about, you know, like how Italian food was not really anything like Italian food, and a little bit about racial stuff, but not too terrible, just sort of the more so the reality of things. But she's also in an entirely different, I mean, she's not terribly far from Tryon, she's about an hour, but she's in a much sort of countryer place, and just her, and she, you know, this is an older white woman, so it's not like she's experienced things directly, but just things that she has observed being a northerner in terms of just cultural differences.
These damn Yankees come down the South thinking that everybody's a bunch of dumb redneck hicks that just eat butter,
no,
and I'm tired
it's not,
of it, okay?
That's not even that. She just basically said, like, the guy who came to fix her dishwasher was a black guy, and he, like, was afraid to look her in the eye, and, you know, he was very quiet and very polite and always looking at the floor until she was really extra nice to him and you know, like kind of forced him into a conversation. And he was like, oh, okay. And then he, you know, warmed up. He was like, you know, just sort of that mentality that was a little bit shocking. But anyhow.
Well, how about the Tryon? First of all, you said something in one of your posts about the mayor of the town.
Yeah.
What was that all about?
Oh my God, it was crazy. So I literally was in town for 5 minutes. I get here. It's the cutest stinking little town ever. Like, oh, it's so cute. 5 minutes, I'm like searching for coffee. So I saw a bunch of little shops. I'm like, let me just park the car and walk a little bit. Found a coffee shop, went and got coffee. And there was a gentleman sitting outside talking to another guy who looked like he might be in some sort of construction, maybe a road worker or like a foreman. So they were talking when I went in. And when I came out, they sort of broke up their conversation. And I just overheard them talking about some kind of project. And as I'm walking away towards my car, the older gentleman like spoke to me. He was like, hi, how you doing? Are you visiting? I was like, yeah, actually I just got here. And he puts out his hand and hi, my name is John such and such. I'm the mayor. And he gives me his business card and are you here visiting? And it's just so nice. He's like, oh, well, I hope you stay a while and I hope you return. So I was just like, it was unbelievable. I was like, yeah,
people
I'm here for 5 minutes
nice.
And the mayor gives me his business card. It was so cute.
That's awesome. See, we're nice people in the South. Don't you think we're going to be terrible to you?
I don't think everybody's terrible. I don't think everybody's terrible. It's just, you know, the cultural differences that I just, you know, wasn't. But again, where I am in Asheville, staying at Allison's house, and Tryon and even Saluda, where I had actually looked at some property in both Tryon and Saluda. It's just, it's just a little more, I guess, influenced by.
You're moving from Center City to rural North Carolina mountains. There
Harlem.
Could not be any bigger difference in the world than moving from that place to that place. I mean,
that's true. Although, I did grow up in Northwest Connecticut
still nothing. Nothing like moving to the mountains of North Carolina.
A lot of homes, except like the mountains are taller, you know, but the trees and the greenery and everything, it's definitely more rural, but it's just absolutely gorgeous. I'm absolutely in
love with this area. I got to tell you a story. Beautiful. Speaking of cultural differences, and I'll tell you, Jennifer and I had the same experience. We were staying at Pigeon Forge, and we went across the mountains because we wanted to go into North Carolina and go gem hunting, but we didn't want to do the thing where it's the bucket. We wanted to dig our own dirt. Right. So we went to this gem mine that was deep into North Carolina mountains, and we were down these dirt roads, the one road, and the GPS was taking us on these backwoods roads in the mountains. And we were down this one road, and there was a stream beside it, and it looked exactly like it was out of Deliverance. And then there's these wild dogs that come up and start barking at the car, and we're like, we're out of here. We could not get off that road fast enough. So I get it.
Oh,
I'm there with you.
It's beautiful. You know, and it's funny because, you know, my father is from Jamaica and I've spent a fair amount of time there, and it's very mountainous around Kingston where he's from. And you're driving along these windy, narrow roads, steep roads. And that's actually kind of what it felt like when I was driving through Tryon, and even because Saluda is even higher in elevation than Tryon. So driving from there to Saluda was even, you know, it reminded me a lot of Jamaica, except the roads were much, much nicer and nearly as many potholes. But just absolutely stunning. I mean, just stunning. I'm like literally a few times a day, my breath gets taken away. I'm just like,
well, now, speaking of cultural differences, have you made your way over to the Biltmore yet?
No, actually, I was just talking to Allison as she was walking out the door. I'm going to head over there this afternoon because she works there in the wine room part-time.
Yeah. Oh, does she? She works in the wine room where you do the wine tastings and stuff?
Yeah.
Have you ever been to the Biltmore, Jamie?
No, I've never been there.
Oh, God. You know, you're gonna see a cultural difference there, that's for sure. Jennifer was lucky enough to have, they have trail rides there. And you can, so this is good for you to know, they have trail rides there and you can go trail riding. And she went out with a friend of ours and they were the only two. So they got this private ride around the Biltmore Estate.
Wow.
And Biltmore Estate's one of the, was it Rockefeller? Is it one of the Rockefellers?
Might have been.
Yeah, and it's just huge and enormous, and one of those houses, you know, that you just have to see once in your lifetime. And it used to have like 30,000 acres or something. They've whittled it down now, but you can still go riding there, I believe. And they do an endurance race out of the Biltmore every year.
Just so much fun.
Just a cool thing. It is really cool. We were there one New Year's Eve when it was snowing. So we were actually there at New Year's Eve when it's snowing in front of the Biltmore, and you'll see what kind of spectacular scene that would have been. And we ate in the stables. So they have the restaurant, Jamie, in the old stables, and they actually have the stalls still there, and you eat inside the stalls. So it's kind of cool. It is really cool. It's really a neat thing. Everybody should see the Biltmore once, and at Christmas time especially.
And, you know, that's the funny, I didn't even really know what it was until I met Allison, because I didn't know anything about Asheville. And actually, ironically, my cousins moved down to North Carolina. They're about 3 hours away a couple years ago, and she just posted pictures like 2 weekends ago of her kids at the Biltmore. I was like, oh, I'm going to be there in 2 weeks.
Well,
so, yeah, I'm really excited. I'm going to go sort of explore and
it looks like the Castle of Versailles.
It is. It's huge.
Yeah, it does.
It's they had like 100 servants or something. it's huge. And you can see a lot of it.
I think it's the closest America can come to a castle, just about, except for that one Rockefeller one up in upstate New York.
Yep, you're right. You're right. You're going to have fun. It's just something to see. It really is. And take the tour, pay the money, and do the tourist thing. It's worth it.
Oh, I will. Yep. Absolutely.
Well, Stephanie, thank you so much. It's weird. We got to keep track of you on your potential move from New York City to rural mountains of North Carolina.
From Harlem to the outskirts.
Can she please make sure that move happens before 2018 World Equestrian Games?
Yeah.
And make sure you get a place with plenty of extra rooms.
I was kind of like dilly-dallying about looking at stuff, and that sort of just lit a fire. I'm like, oh, I got to do this. If I'm going to do it, I need to do it now.
Yeah,
so, and we did actually on Saturday. So Saturday, I spent the entire day driving around Tryon and Saluda. And then in the evening, we went to a horse show at Tyac, which was very interesting. It was a Grand Prix. The place is just, there's construction everywhere. I mean, it's blowing up. Like, it's unbelievable. It's such an amazing facility. And you can just, there's so much construction you can see. It's going to be pretty much like the Disney World of equestrians, I think.
So you think it could handle the WAG?
I do. I do. I mean, I've never been to a WAG, but but it is it's huge and clearly getting bigger. Because I mean, just the roads and there's all kinds of construction around, and yeah, it's a really nice facility.
Well, Stephanie, thank you. You have fun at the Biltmore today.
Thanks.
And go down and taste some wine. You'll probably get better pours than everybody else.
Yeah, probably.
All right, we'll see.
That's what I need before my evening lesson.
Yeah, exactly. Might help, actually. You never know.
Yeah.
All right, Stephanie,
all right,
thanks.
Guys. Good talking. All right, bye-bye.
Bye. What a big move. Like, I mean, just...
that's a move. I mean, you know, you joke about the South, but the mountains of North Carolina and South Carolina are that you're getting into the epitome of the South. I mean, every stereotype you ever imagined, you're going to find in those mountains.
Well, I mean, just you got to drive through West Virginia on your way down there. It doesn't get worse than that. No. Oh, I know.
Well, it's got the epitome of the South in every good as well as every bad way.
Right. I mean, every stereotype is there.
Yeah.
And we spent a good bit of time over there because our friends live in Greenville, which is in the mountains over there. And they just moved to a lake over there. So we've gone up quite a bit and we've been to the Biltmore many times.
I have said once and we'll say many more times that stereotypes are stereotypes for a reason.
For a reason, right? They didn't just make them up out of the blue.
No.
And you would say that about Georgia people, too. So we've all heard your dad on the show. So we know.
You can be Southern and not a racist a-hole, though.
Yes,
so.
Yes, you can.
Let's separate those things.
Yeah, but you know what? You grew up in the city and that's all you hear. Right, you're going in with a preconceived notion of what the country is like, right?
Not me, you're talking about her.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking
about. Well, it's terrible when you've got people telling you these horrible things and you're so braced for something that's going to be terrible.
Well, isn't it the same way when we go into the city? I think about going to the city, having been a country boy all my life, growing up in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, right, with the Amish. I think about going into the city that I'm going to get mugged or raped or killed. You know, every city I go into, that's what's going to happen.
Probably not that so much.
But that's just a fantasy. But, you know, it's going to happen, right? And that's our version of what she went through, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I'm from both areas, so whatever.
Yeah,
I
so you had experience in both. You didn't grow up in just one or the other. Because you were in Atlanta, you know, in the city and the country. So you had experience in both. You didn't grow up like I did, where you're in the country and going to the city is a big deal, you know? Or Jennifer, who just doesn't want to go to the city.
There are some pretty frightening places in Phoenix, too. I mean, it doesn't mean I'm going to go hang out in, like, you know, the Mexican ghetto, which is very real here. It's like the world's largest percentage, like the highest percentage of kidnappings takes place, like, 10 miles from me. So, I mean, I get it. Like, there's some really scary places you're not going to go hang out. And you definitely have expectations going into places. But don't think the whole South is bad, you guys.
No, actually, they're very friendly. About 99.9% of them are the friendliest people you ever meet in your life.
New Yorkers, too, man. You go to New York and you don't know where you're going. You ask somebody, they'll be so nice to you. So anyway, but. Stereotypes are stereotypes, typically.
Well, we're glad she joined us. You know, if you have adventures you're going on, we'd love to hear from listeners when they're on an adventure. So let us know and we'll get you on the air, too. And thank you so much to Omega Alpha Equine for arranging and getting everything set up and to Denise for helping get Lindsay Partridge on. She's absolutely delightful and we wish her the best of luck at the makeover coming up in October.
I hate that I told her there was a horse movie named Dreamer. I feel like I ruined something.
Oh, no, they were going to find out anyway. So.
Yeah. Sooner or later, someone's going to bring it up.
The lawyer's going to tell them that at one point.
It's going to be called Dreamer.
She's just delightful, and we're glad to have her on, and she's welcome back anytime.
I'm sorry I did that.
Tomorrow, what do we have tomorrow? We have Women in Rodeo tomorrow. We have Horse Hubbies coming up as well.
Now, they have not called me for the Women in Rodeo show.
Oh,
yet.
They should now that you're a barrel racer.
I'm a barrel racer.
Yes.
A barrel walker.
You're a barrel walker, right?
I'm a barrel walker. Now I know which way to go and everything.
They would laugh at you in that show. You know that, right? Well, that's tomorrow. And then we have the Horse Hubby episode coming up. We'll be recording that tomorrow as well. That'll be out on Thursday. And get your really bad ads into Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. We have a $200 total saddle fit girth up for grabs this month. And you only have, well, this is the last week, matter of fact. And we start in, well, no, next week will be, you consider next week part of this month too. So you only have 2 weeks to get them in. So get them in.
Is Tim Wallace going to be filming, going to be recording from Burley?
He's not there.
He's not there.
No, I don't think he went.
And Simply Priceless.
Yeah, I think Tim had to work. He got a new job, so they won't let him off as often. So, yeah, she's over there. Now, when is Burley? Do you know the date? Is it September?
I don't know the date exactly. Let me read here.
Let's see.
Talk amongst yourselves.
Yeah, Burley Horse Trials is coming up. I hate when you go to a website and the first thing is not the date. I mean, shouldn't you have the date of these events right at the top and I not have to search for it? September 1st through the 4th. So it is coming up.
Yep, coming up. It's
yep, next be week. Awesome. Yep, so no, she'll be over there riding, and that'll be a lot of fun. By the way, if you want to watch any of Burley, they have great, great social media on their website, burley-horse.co.uk. They do the best at social media, and the flyovers of the course and all that stuff is so cool. Burley,
I
does
think they
great
had a
job.
Bunch of those guys that parkour.
Oh, doing it?
The Burley course. It's been going around. It's pretty funny.
It is cool. I mean, they do a great job. They're the best at it. Well, thank you, everybody. Jamie, I hope your shoulder gets better and take care of that.
Thank you.
Ice is your friend.
Yes, it is.
Of course, yes. You know that. I don't have to tell you that. You've used enough ice in your life.
Mommy, that's cold. Yeah, I know.
17 days to vacation.
Woohoo! Faye Nittergeld, have a great one, everybody. Go watch some Eric Roberts classics.